Welcome to Tari Maka, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will be studying Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Zayin, Chapter 37. Seemingly, in stark contrast to the end of the last Perek, where God promises that the devastated lands of Israel will be Mele'ot, full of man and animal, in our Perek, we have something else that is Mele'ah, full. It's a Big'ah, a valley. Yes, in Perek Lamed Zayin, we encounter a valley reminiscent of the Big'ah from the very beginning of the Sefer, and it is Mele'ah, full. But here, in this valley, there is no man and animal, no living society that the land is full of, at least not yet. In our Perek, the land is full of bones. It is Mele'ah Atzamot. The Pasuk tells us that these bones are very dry. Yeveshot Ma'od. Yes, we've now arrived at the prophecy of the dry bones, probably the most well-known of all of Yecheskel's Nebu'ot. Famously, God asks Yecheskel if these Atzamot bones can live again. And Yecheskel tells him, only you know, God. Atayadata. God then proceeds to instruct Yecheskel to prophesy, to speak to these dry bones. He is to tell them that they will be brought to life. V'natati aleichem gidim, v'haleiti aleichem or, v'karamti aleichem or, v'natati bachem ruach, v'chiyitem. The process will begin with the renewal of sinews, flesh, and finally skin, followed by the ruach, all of which will bring the bones to life. And then, as Yecheskel speaks to these bones, suddenly he hears a rash, a loud sound, and as he watches, the bones start to merge toward one another. Atzamot, etzem el atzmo. Sure enough, the bones begin to adhere to the sinews, the flesh, and then the skin. V'ruach ein bahem, but still no spirit. Then God tells Yecheskel, you need to prophesy to the ruach. Ask it to come together from the four ruchot. The word ruach can mean spirit or wind, but it can also mean direction, north, south, east, and west. Ask the ruach to come from the four ruchot. Ufechi baharugim ha'ele v'yichyu. And the ruach should blow life into these figures that have been slain. As promised, the ruach comes and enters the bodies. It brings these figures in the big'ah, the valley, to their feet. Much like the ruach once brought Yecheskel to his own feet, back in his own big'ah, the valley near Nahar Kvar, in the very beginning of our Sefer. The pasuk then tells us, Vayamdu aragleihem chayil gadol ma'od ma'od. These figures become a very great army standing on their feet. So not only do the individual bones come together to form a whole body, but each of these individual people, newly come to life again, they all come together to form another whole, a vast army, chayil gadol ma'od ma'od. These words, ma'od ma'od, by the way, are the same words that back in Perek Tet, God used to explain to Yecheskel why the nation of Israel couldn't be saved. At that time, God told Yecheskel, Avon be'Yisrael v'Yehuda gadol b'ma'od ma'od. The sins of the nation, Yisrael and Yehuda, are very, very great. Back then, there was an air of hopelessness about avoiding the destruction of Malchut Yehuda. The sins of the people were great. But here in Perek Lamed Zayin, it speaks of a moment in which hopelessness gets replaced by hope. Let's ponder that connection as we go back to the Psukim and continue to hear about the meaning of these bones. So what is the meaning of this prophecy that Yecheskel has seen play out before him? Who is this army? Who are these dry bones who have come to life? God implicitly poses this question to Yecheskel. And then he tells Yecheskel the answer. Ha'atzamot ha'ela, kol be'Yisrael hema. These bones represent all of the house of Israel, kol be'Yisrael. They are lost Malchut Yehuda and Malchut Yisrael that have been broken down in successive waves of destruction and exile. Hine omrim yavshu atzmotenu v'avda tikvatenu nigzarnu lanu. They are saying, our bones are dry, our hope is lost. We have been cut apart. These people, they feel as dry and lifeless as the bones in the prophecy. The bones represent the destroyed remnant of the people, the despondency and hopelessness of a nation that has been cut apart and scattered across the world. Yes, even though there are survivors of the destruction and exile, and even though these individuals are alive, the nation itself, the independent community that was Malchut Yisrael and Yehuda, that has died. And the hope of it ever coming back to life seems almost laughable. Avda tikvatenu, our hope is lost. But God is saying to this remnant, your hope is not lost. Could the dead really come to life? The answer, God says, is yes. Kol amar Hashem Elokim, hineni ani potach kivrotechem, v'aleiti etchem mikivrotechem ami, v'aveiti etchem el adma Yisrael. Hashem says, I'll open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and I'll bring you into the land of Israel. V'idatem ki ani Hashem, you'll know that I am Hashem, b'fitchi et kivrotechem, u'v'aloti etchem mikivrotechem ami. When I've opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. V'natati ruchi b'chem v'chitem. I'll put my spirit in you and you shall live. V'hinachti etchem al admatchem v'yidatem ki ani Hashem. And I'll place you back in your own land and you'll know that I am Hashem. I've spoken and I've done it. The idea of Triyat HaMetim in this chapter, it is an extended analogy to the rebirth of the people of Israel as a sovereign nation. As likely as it seems, they will survive the dispersion, the cutting apart and scattering of the community to the four ruchot of the world. As likely as it seems, their ruach will come together again from all the far-flung places of the globe, and once more, they will become a sovereign nation in its own land. In the analogy, exile is a kind of death, as God forecasted through Yechezkel's shaving of his hair back in Parakeh. And as we pointed out at that time, what death is to the individual, exile is to the nation. For what, after all, is a nation? A nation is a sovereign people, nefashot, on the land. Separate the people from the land, the hair from the nation, and the nation is dead. Just as an individual is dead when you separate the nefesh from the body, when you separate the souls from their body, the land, the nation has died. But what Hashem shows Yechezkel here is that death, it isn't really the end, because just as an individual soul continues to persist after death, albeit separated from its body, so does the nation persist even after it is separated from its land. And therefore, resuscitation of the dead is possible. Exile can end, and when it does, the national soul and body of Israel will reunite. The people of Israel will once again become a sovereign nation in its own land. Avda tikvatenu, the bones had said, our hope is lost. But God opens their graves and brings them back to the land. It is hard to read these words without thinking of the aftermath of the Holocaust, with the sense of hopelessness that came from this nearly total destruction, and the return of Israel to its homeland just years later, in the subsequent rebirth of the State of Israel. The image of charred bones in the crematoria near the gas chambers seems to echo with the hopelessness of the dried bones of the nation in Yechezkel's valley. And by the way, it seems nearly certain that the writer of Hatikva, the Israeli national anthem, borrowed from this pasuk in Yechezkel, Avda tikvatenu, the bones had said. But in fact, od lo avda tikvatenu, our hope is still not lost. The almost impossible can in fact be real. God can bring life into mere bones. The nation can indeed return to life again. The psukim in Yechezkel immediately transition to another nevuah. At first glance, it isn't immediately clear what the connection is. But here's what happens. Yechezkel is told to take two sticks and write a message on each of these sticks. Kach lecha etz echad uchtov aleha liyehuda. Ulivne Yisrael Chaverav. Take one stick and write on it Yehuda and Bnei Yisrael with him. Ulukach et echad uktov alav liyosef et Ephraim v'chol Bnei Yisrael Chaverav. And take a second stick and write on it for Yosef, a stick of Ephraim, and Bnei Yisrael with him. That word echad, one, runs as a repeated theme throughout the Nevuah. Yechezkel then hears what he's supposed to do with these sticks. V'karav otam echad el echad lecha le'et echad v'hayu la'achadim b'yadecha. He is to place these sticks near each other, allowing them to fuse into an eitz echad, into one entity. In the next psukim, God tells Yechezkel that when the people inevitably ask what these sticks are all about, Yechezkel is to explain this to him. V'kibatzti otam misaviv, v'heveti otam al admatam, v'asiti otam l'goy echad ba'aretz. And I, God, will gather them from around, and I will bring them to their land, and I will make them into one nation in the land. Yechezkel is to tell the people that these sticks, they represent God fusing the nation together. We can now begin to see how this nevuah connects to the last one. The nevuah before was about the fusing of atzamot, bones, bringing bones together to create people and recreating the community of Israel on its land. The second nevuah in our parak, it is about fusing of something else, etzim, sticks, pieces of wood, wood that represents two kingdoms, Yehuda and Israel. In the future, once Israel is reborn on its land, they won't be two nations anymore. They will be fused into one. Yechezkel's message is a reunification. U'melech echad yelech kulam lemelech. The nation will have one king. V'lo yu od lishnei goyim. V'lo yechatzu od lishtei mamlechot od. They will no longer be split into two nations or two kingdoms. Yechezkel then moves on to another theme, but it too is connected to all of this. V'lo yitamu od b'gilulehem u'v'shikutzehem u'v'chol pishehem. They will no longer be defiled with their idolatry and sins. V'tiharti otam. God says, I will purify them. This notion of Israel in the future not going back to idolatry, it connects to the idea of bringing Malchut Yehuda and Israel together in the future. Somehow, in the future, the unity as a nation is something that will prevent them from going back to idolatry. And that really makes sense, because the conflict between these two parts of Israel is what really was the precursor for the destruction of Yerushalayim that took place in the days of Yechezkel. The split kingdom was the beginning of the end. Historically, immediately after the split in the kingdom, idolatry spreads like wildfire through the northern kingdom. It's only a few verses after the split of the two kingdoms that the king of the northern kingdom sets up Eglei Zahav, golden calves, in order to avoid the people worshiping in the temple in Yerushalayim. They need some sort of local place to worship, so Yeravam brings idolatry back into the land to keep people from going to the Beit HaMikdash in the other kingdom. It really is a function of the split, then, that idolatry became rampant. The psukim then continue in our parak. V'charati lahem brit shalom brit olam. Once the nation is reunited and purified, God will finally make an everlasting brit with the nation, brit olam, paving the way for an everlasting mikdash, where he dwells with them. V'natati emikdashi betocham le'olam, v'haya mishkani alehem. And then, once the mikdash is back, God's name will once again become known among the nations. V'yadu ha'goyim ki ani Hashem, mikadesh e'Israel, biyo mikdashi betocham le'olam. And the nations will know that I am Hashem, who sanctifies Israel, Uthwai Mikdash, among them, Lo'olam forever. These nevuot about the boats coming to life and the two etzim coming together, it seems actually that there is yet another layer of meaning to them. Because if you listen to the words of these nevuot carefully, you'll see how they play off of an earlier parak in our Sefer, Parak Chav Dalet. Let's rewind in our minds back to that parak. The nevuah in Parak Chav Dalet immediately preceded the final nevuah about the destruction of the Mikdash. It was about a pot that was to be put to a boil. And like in our parak, bones and sticks of wood, atzamot and etzim, took center stage. Yechezkel was told to fill the pot with bones, mivchar atzamim alei. Moreover, those bones in the pot were dry, v'ha'atzamot yecharu. It sounds like our parak, where the bones are, yeveshot me'od. As a matter of fact, if we were to draw a picture of each of these scenes, they would look pretty similar, wouldn't they? The bones in the pot and the bones in the valley, in the Bigah. A pot is kind of like a curved receptacle made by man. A valley, a curved receptacle made by nature. Each similar in shape, full of bones. In Parak Chav Dalet, the pot started out with choice bones. These bones had flesh on them, but were taken apart into pieces. Esof netachcheha eleha, kol netach tov yarech v'chatef Bivchar Atzami Male. Gather the cuts into the pot. Each piece, a choice cut of thigh and shoulder. Fill it up with these choice bones. But then the choice pieces of meat were destroyed by the fire under the pot. In Yechezkel and Perek Lamed Zayin, we see a mirror image of this. Centuries later, Israel would be redeemed from exile, and the bones that were boiled in the pot from centuries before, now completely dry, those bones would come back to life. And the process is the inverse of what happened in Perek Chaf Daled. The dry bones join each other. Then, the other parts of the body merge with the bones, sinews and skin reemerge, and all join as one body. It's almost as though, through this process, the dry bones of Yechezkel Lamed Zayin begin to approximate the original live people that went into the pot, so to speak, back in Perek Chaf Daled. Back in Perek Chaf Daled, what was the fuel for the fire that destroyed the cuts of meat? It was etzim, sticks of wood. And now, in Perek Lamed Zayin, we seem to learn what those sticks of wood were. The etzim are back, and we learn that they are the two malchuyot, Yehuda and Yisrael. The conflict between them had been the fire under the pot, the force that began to destroy the nation. Now, these etzim would be rejuvenated too, and would come together to become one. Back in Perek Tet, we heard a message of hopelessness, Avon Beit Yisrael v'Yehuda gadol b'ma'od ma'od, that the sins of Yisrael and Yehuda were too great for them to be saved. This iteration of the sovereign nation of Israel could not survive. But God will turn this around, creating another iteration of the nation in the future, a reborn nation. In this nation, the very, very great sins performed by those in the pot become the Chaylik Gadol, Ma'od Ma'od, a very, very great army in the pot-like Biga, the valley, the place of exile, the place Yechezkel himself found himself standing in Bavel. The great army would come back to the land, newly reconstituted and purified of sin. But indeed, even once the nation as a whole survives, there is still work to be done. The people still need to reunite. Yisrael and Yehuda need to come together and operate as one entity. In Perek Chaf Daled, the separated etzim that raged underneath the pot that fueled the fire, these etzim and their fire were unable to rid the pot of the chel'ah, of its stains, of its stubborn schmutz, if you will. B'tumatech zima ya'an tihartich v'lo tahartz mitumatech v'lo titariod ad hanichi et chametibach. Because of your impurity caused by unfaithfulness, I tried to purify you, but you did not become pure. You will not become pure until I place my wrath on you. But in our parak, after the korban, Hashem says, V'lo yitamu od begiluleihem u'shikutzeihem u'v'chol pisheihem, v'hoshati otam mikol moshvoteihem asher chatu bahem v'tiharti otam. And you will no longer be tamei, defiled, with your idols and sins, and I will save you from the places that you sinned in, and v'tiharti otam, purify you. In Perek Lamed Zayin, when the etzim become one, and the fire that raged between them is extinguished, then, and only then, will tahara, purity, emerge, giving the newly reconstituted people the wherewithal to remain at peace, le'olam, forever in the land. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilu Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.